There is a law of Christ as well as the law of God. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. My name is Rod Hembree.
I'm Janice.
And this is Bible Discovery. We are discovering the Bible, the most important book of all. And today we're going to read through Galatians chapter 6. Now, there are 10 verses here, and this is absolutely stunning. So I want to encourage you to join us in about 3 minutes' time. Corey and Ryan are here as well. Corey?
Today, I'm going to take a look at the book of Galatians as a whole and do a bit of a study there for us to see its history, who it was written to, all of those good things. Ryan?
Did Paul contradict himself regarding the bearing of burdens? Well, some think that he did. So we're going to see if that's true.
All right, very good. We'll look forward to that in about 15 minutes. Janice?
Today, I want to talk about doing good.
All right, take your Bible guide and turn to the most important book of all, to Galatians. Let's begin the study in chapter 6 and listen to what the Lord God said.
Galatians 6, 1 through 10. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 10.
You know, this is interesting because the church in Galatia is so fascinating. This is an amazing part of history. And, the Roman Empire was here. This was the garrison city. It was really, really interesting. And today there are six chapters. We're going to go to chapter 6. You know, it's all too easy to get tired of trying to do the right thing. Have you noticed that? All around us, we see evil. We see people like us working against the good. It can be hard to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ and off the world, but that is what we have to do. Now, the reality is there are many people whom God has living for him. We just can't always see them. There are many thousands of Christians who are touching this world in astoundingly good ways. And I don't mean just in charitable giving, feeding the hungry or working with the great missions organizations. Though those things are happening and they're good, I mean also in doing the right and godly thing when faced with life's challenges. As Galatians concludes, we see Paul encouraging the church, a big change after the opening letter with intense correction. Paul explains to them and to us today that Christians need to intentionally work with each other with a heart of gentleness. This is a fruit of the Spirit that needs to grow in our lives. Fruit of the Spirit, that's important, as opposed to gifts of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit. Now, gifts of the Spirit is given, but fruit of the Spirit grows in us. Very, very important. Well, we're going to look at Galatians chapter 6 today. We're going to study 10 verses. It's going to be very good. Now, take your Bible guide and turn to this. If you don't have a Bible guide, you can call us or write to us, and we'll send it to you. It does cost us money, so thank you for considering that. But another way you can do it, if you're overseas, if you're in Europe or you're in Africa or you're in Asia, or the Middle East, you can simply go to BibleDiscoveryTV.com. That's our website, BibleDiscoveryTV.com. BibleDiscoveryTV.com. And when you go there, you'll see the Bible guide. Click on it. It will take you to the place where you can download it, just like we printed it. So thank you so much for that. But we need to pray. Father, help us. Chapter 6 of Galatians is very striking and very important. Help us to take this and learn from it, Father. I pray the persecuted church would hear this as well. And I pray, Lord, that you would touch them. They are just amazing people. But help us, Lord, all around the world. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Listen carefully as we go to Galatians chapter 6. Here's what the Bible says. Brethren, if a man is overtaken by any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness. Restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ. Christ has laws. Did you know that? Verse 3. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. Man, that's important today, right now. There is a law of Christ as well as the law of God. Now, we're not under the law of God, but we are committed to following the law of Christ as Christians. As Christians, we should continue to work to follow the law of Jesus Christ, loving one another. What was the greatest law Jesus said? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. What? Yeah. It's the law of Christ is very challenging because the Holy Spirit helps us do that. And we need to submit to God, to Jesus Christ, in order to do that. Boy, this is interesting. Well, let's read on. It says in the next verse, let him who is taught the word share. Let him who is taught the word share in good things, all good things, with him who teaches. Whoa, that's interesting. That's right. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. And he who sows to the Spirit, capital S, will of the Spirit, capital S, reap everlasting life. That is intense. Now, the second point, I want you to pay attention here. We need to work on feeding our spirit and not our flesh. We need to work on feeding our spirit and not our flesh. We will reap everlasting life when we live by the Spirit and His power and trust in God. Trust in God. There's something printed on the money of the United States of America, which is great. It says, in God we trust. I love that. Now, we need to understand, why did they put that there? Why is it in which God? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God of the Bible, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. That's the God we're talking about. In God we trust. Now, we need to pay attention to that because that's very important. All right, we don't have time to go into that much deeper. There's a lot more there, but let's go on to the next verse. And let us not grow weary while doing good. Grow tired of doing good. For in due season, we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. What? Absolutely. Christians, those who are of the family or the household of faith, are called to do good to everyone. There are times when good and right is not the popular thing to do. You know, forgiving people. That's not popular, is it? I mean, who wants to forgive somebody who really has hurt you? Yet, we witnessed somebody, Charlie Kirk's wife, who forgave the man who killed her husband. It wasn't easy for her, but she followed Christ. Beloved, we need to follow Christ in everything we do. We need to follow Jesus Christ. He is the one. Keep that in mind, beloved. We need to do so, because when we do that, God honors us. Now, that's not easy to do, and it's not, you know, well, it's not fun, but it is a decision. And if we make that decision, as hard as it may be, and it may be hard, but if we make the decision, it's like the gentleman who said to Christ, I believe, but forgive my unbelief. You know, that's kind of like I am all the time. Lord, I believe, but forgive my unbelief. But if we follow Christ, the Holy Spirit will help us and will guide us and lead us. Very, very important, beloved. Keep that in your heart, keep that in your mind, and let's make it happen.
All right, well, today I'm looking at Galatians chapter 6, where some think that Paul contradicted himself regarding the bearing of burdens. And let me just read you this passage. It's Galatians chapter 6, verses 2 to 5. He says, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. For each one should carry his own load." So in verse 2, he says to bear one another's burdens. But then in verse 5, he says that each one of us should bear our own load. So which is it? Because the Bible declares itself to be inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, it is offensive to mankind's natural inclination to follow in his own selfish and sinful ways. Hence, great effort has been put into suppressing such ideas. As such, there have been many false claims that the Bible is littered with errors and contradictions, and thus must be discredited as a divine revelation. As an example, consider the allegation brought against the Apostle Paul that he contradicted himself regarding the bearing of burdens. In particular, should every man bear his own burden? Apparently yes, according to Galatians chapter 6, verse 5, but no, according to Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. In this passage, Paul teaches believers that if anyone is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, Paul says, and so fulfill the law of Christ. But, says the apostle, let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another, for each one shall bear his own burden. So it seems that Paul instructs believers to bear one another's burdens, and yet in the very next breath says that each person should bear his own burden. However, the error does not lie in the apostle's teaching, but with the critic. In fact, as logic expert Jason Lyle explains, the critic has committed the equivocation fallacy, where he has assumed that burden is being used in the same sense in verse 2 as it is in 5. Not only does context preclude this, explains Lyle, but the original Greek word is not the same between these two verses. Verse 2 uses the Greek word beros for burden and has the meaning of a weight or trouble. In context with verse 1, Paul is teaching that Christians ought to volunteer to help one another with their spiritual difficulties, gently restoring those who have sinned. Verse 5 uses the word fortion for burden, which has the meaning of a load. In context with verse 4, Paul is teaching that each person should be concerned with the work that has been assigned to him, and not presumptuously judge others for their assignments. There is no contradiction in instructing people to help each other, but reminding them that they will answer to God for their own assignments and not another's. So as you can see, based on the context of the passage, there's no contradiction. And as I mentioned, in the Greek, each verse uses a different word, right? Verse 2 uses a Greek word that has the meaning of await or trouble, while verse 5 uses a word that means load. So Paul's point is to help each other. Yes, that's true, but also to keep in mind that each one of us is going to answer to God for our own assignments.
Yeah,
there's no contradiction there.
That's really important to remember that. Thank you, Ryan. And if you don't, if you're not on the Bible Guide list, get on the Bible Guide list. What do you do? It means you give a donation, and we'll send you every month, we'll send you a copy of the Bible Guide. The Bible Guide is all fresh material, new material, and we've done this for 30 years, actually 35 years. Mm-hmm. That's incredible. Anyway, so, and we learn material in this Word of God. It's very important. So make sure that if you want the Bible Guide to come to you in January, you need to make a comment to us. Now, there's every year we have people who we haven't heard from for a year or 2 years, and we take them off the list because we don't know if the Bible Guide is being wasted or whatever. So we purge the mailing list that way. So if you haven't responded to us in a while and you would still like the Bible Guide, write to us and get on the list again, and let's focus on that. Very, very important. Corey, you're up.
All right. Well, today I want to take a look at the New Testament book of Galatians. Of course, it was originally a letter to an area, an ancient area. So this is to multiple churches. The letter would have been shared among those churches, passed along, if you will. So let's go into the body of Galatians, the history of it, some of the controversies perhaps surrounding it. Let's see what we can learn.
The book of Galatians may be the earliest written book of the New Testament. It was written by the Apostle Paul to the Christians in Galatia. There are two different views of just who is meant by Galatians, though. During Paul's lifetime in ministry, the Roman Empire had combined two areas that were once separate into the Roman province of Galatia. So politically and commercially, this area of north and north-central Turkey was known as Galatia. But socially, it's likely that only those in the north would have identified themselves as Galatians culturally. In one view, Paul was using Galatia in the proper Roman way to mean all the Christians in the province whom he had visited. According to the book of Acts, he visited several cities in the southern part of Galatia. In another view, Paul was writing only to the people who would have identified themselves as culturally Galatian, meaning from the northern area of the province. From the book of Galatians itself, we know that Paul had visited the Christians that he was writing to. While the book of Acts does not record a visit to the northern areas of Galatia, it's possible that for time and space, they were just not recorded. The book of Galatians itself might help us with this issue. The premise of the book is that people had arrived in Galatia teaching that the Gentile Christians must observe the laws of Moses to truly follow Christ. In so teaching, they directly opposed what the Galatians had learned from Paul, and these teachers had apparently tried to undermine Paul's authority in the process. This is why at the beginning of Galatians, Paul gives a defense of his ministry and apostleship. He gives his background of being called by Christ himself, and he records two trips to Jerusalem, one near the beginning of his ministry to visit Peter and James, the brother of Jesus, and another one 14 years later with Barnabas and Titus as the result of a revelation. These two trips seem to mesh well with trips mentioned in Acts, a first trip to get his bearings as an apostle, and a second trip prompted by a prophecy of famine given by a Christian named Agabus. Galatians seems to have been written before the Jerusalem Council that would see Paul travel to Jerusalem for a third time and would authoritatively settle the issue of Gentiles and the law. This also makes sense of why Paul tells of Peter's wavering stance on Gentile Christians. At that point, Christianity was still fledgling, and they hadn't yet gathered in Jerusalem to settle the matter. If this reconstruction is accurate, Galatians would be Paul's first known letter and written around 48 or 49 AD. The book itself is a straightforward apologetic work. It is a defense of the gospel against these teachers claiming that the church must also follow the law. Paul gives a defense of his ministry, reminds them all of why Christians are free of the law and what the law is for. And finally, Paul gives a discourse on how then Christians should live.
So there we go. A quick look into this ancient New Testament book of Galatians. Always really interesting. On tomorrow's program, we're going to be doing a similar thing, but of course, to the book of Ephesians.
Look forward to that. That's going to be really good. I love these, going through these books of the Bible. They're awesome. Excellent. Okay, so thank you, Corey, very much for that. Mm-hmm. Janice, you're up.
Well, there's a couple of different angles that we can look at here in Galatians chapter 6. Paul is talking about bearing and sharing the burdens. We've heard from Ryan on a so-called contradiction in there. I find it interesting that Paul does, when he talks about bearing one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, he is saying, if anyone thinks himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself, but let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. And what that made me think of right away was the passage that talks about the speck in your brother's eye. Now, there's a couple of gospels that this is in, but I like the passage from Luke chapter 6, verses 41 and 42. And it says, "And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Brother, let me remove the speck that is in your eye,' when you yourself do not see the plank that is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck that is in your brother's eye." So we really, if we have committed our lives to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, then we need to make sure that our lives are right and following the Lord Jesus Christ. Get into his word, read his word, spend time with God in prayer, and make sure to live that way and to apply the words of God into our hearts. I have made a note for myself. We can all do good. We can. Paul says to be generous and do good. Let's look at Galatians 6 verses 8 and 10. "For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the will of the Spirit will reap everlasting life." And here's verse 9. "Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." Now, Rod, it is difficult, and Corey and Ryan, sometimes we do grow weary. And I find in this world today, sometimes it is wearisome, because sometimes it feels as though we can't do enough good. It's like that story that I heard a pastor tell a long time ago, and I've heard it before, where there's starfishes that were on the mm-hmm. seashore. Remember that story? And there was a little boy, and there was a man walking along, and the little boy was throwing the starfishes back into the ocean, and the man said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "Well, I'm trying to save the starfishes." And the story goes something like, "Well, look at them all. You can't help them all." And the little boy said, picked up one and he threw it in. He goes, "Well, I helped that one." And then he went to the next one. "Well, I helped that one." And so that is the kind of an attitude that I believe that we need to have with the strength of God's Holy Spirit through us, because we do grow weary. And sometimes we think, what does it matter? Am I really having an effect? Yes, you are. Yes, you are. When you invite the Lord Jesus Christ, when you repent, let's just be honest, when you repent, when you believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that he came and that he died on the cross, and you confess that he is Lord and you repent to him and you say, "Please forgive me of my sin," God's Holy Spirit dwells within you and you are filled with his light. And it doesn't end there. because we learn and we grow. We don't just change immediately. Oh, our heart changes, but then God's Holy Spirit teaches us and helps us to grow, cleans out all the areas in our life that we need work on, and we become sanctified. But then we become a light in this world of darkness, Rod, and we do change things.
The challenge is that we see all these people, and we see people, oh, they did 6,000, 20,000, 80,000, 100,000. Wow, look at all those people. I could never. But God has you called to one person. God will lead you to one person. And if we apply ourselves to what God's called us to, not to what it looks like, then it makes a whole lot of sense. Mm-hmm. And that's what that boy was doing, throwing those starfish in.
So I think what we can take from this is that we need to be concerned with how we live, with our personal relationship with God, because we will be accountable to Him. Each one of us will. So Janice needs to make sure that her life is lining up with God, that I allow Him, as I submit myself to Him, that He will help me to change and grow, and that He will also help me not to grow weary in doing good. We need to tell the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ to this world.
Thank you for joining us today as we study the scripture in Galatians chapter 6. What a great passage in that particular group of scripture. And we need to pray. Lord, help me to reset my mind. Lord, help us to reset our minds on your will. And help me not to be tied up in my feelings. Always talking about my feelings all the time. Help me to focus on your word and your will in Jesus' name. Amen.